Well, the Lord be with you.
I'd
like to welcome everybody here, guests and visitors alike, to worship with us today. Thankful you could come out and be with us on this Memorial Day weekend. I'm not going to say happy Memorial Day. I do hope you enjoy your Memorial Day weekend, but also remember what this weekend is about. It is about all those who have paid the ultimate sacrifice and laid that sacrifice upon the altar of freedom so that you and I could worship freely, and that you and I could assemble freely, and that we could live in this wonderful and great country that we live in. And we owe great amounts to those folks. So please remember that. Enjoy this weekend, but remember all those folks too. And also, I have good news and bad news. The good news is that you are here. The bad news is we are the poor people because we are here on Memorial Day weekend. All those that have money are gone. So Jesus said, the poor you will have with you always. He was talking about us. Remember all those that are traveling, God will give them safe travels and bring them back here safely. Hope they have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. But I'll tell you, it's a rough weekend to travel, so God bless anybody that's on the road this weekend. Several announcements and concerns for you. We'd like to thank Bob and Daniel. They scraped and they painted the council building yesterday. It was pretty hot. They were down there for a while, so we appreciate those guys doing that. That's a lot of work. So thank you, Daniel. Thank you, Bob, for you guys doing that, because it was not a cool day. It was not the best day to do that, but thank God they did. Also, Jason and Clancy are going to have their yard sale adoption fundraiser Saturday, June the 1st. That's this next Saturday. In the picnic shelter, again, help them out, because adoption is all way too expensive, and we hope that they're able to do that. Just so you know, just one prayer concern for you, actually two. Bruce Sapp has now been moved to the stand back center at the hospital. I understand Bruce is improving some, so hopefully he will totally improve and get back very shortly. Also, Karen Steyerwalt has been discharged from down at the hospital, is my understanding, and went to see her the other day, and they said she has been discharged. So I'm hopefully, is she home now, Brownie, and doing better? Good, because I actually, that doesn't bother me when I go to see somebody and they're not there and been discharged, because that's actually a good thing. So we'll be praying for her and Bruce both. Also, the office will be closed tomorrow, the 27th, for Memorial Day. The early service begins next week, so we will have both services, our 8:30 service down at the old church. We'll have a regular service here at 10:30. Hopefully you'll invite folks out, bring them down. We'd love to have people at the old church or here at the new church. Also, a recognition Sunday, excuse me, is next Sunday, June the 2nd. It'll be a combined outdoor service. There'll be a meal for recognition Sunday. We'll honor our new members, our new confirmands, our high school graduates, college graduates. Also, it has congratulations here to Miss Laney Falk for receiving the Randall Gore Memorial Scholarship, and congratulations to our own Garrett Early for receiving the Randall Gore and the Oregon Scholarship. And we're glad that he was able to do that. And I think he's going to Catawba College, I believe. I believe he's going up there. So we're glad that Garrett's going to finally be making it through high school and going on to college, and we appreciate that. We'll be praying for him. Also, the vicar is going to continue his Wednesday Bible studies at 6:30 over in the fellowship hall. If you haven't done that, you need to join this young man. He really gives you he's a great teacher, does some really good theology, gets into some background of stuff, and it helps you understand God's word much better. My Bible study is done for the summer. We're done. We will come back in September. I apologize to my Bible study class. I don't pay that much attention to calendars. And I thought we had another week left in this month that we would be doing, so I apologize. We're not. We're done till September, and then we'll come back. We'll be right back in Luke again. The Oregon Community Senior Citizens Group, they'll have their cookout on June the 4th, 10:30, over the picnic shelter. And also, don't forget to look at our blog. We're getting a lot of hits off this blog. Hopefully, you'll share those things. Check them out. Just common sense theology, trying to do some things and get it out for folks in. So just please share it and tell people about it. Also, on a little sadder note, our sympathies expressed to the family of our friend and our member, Doris Goodman, upon her death May the 22nd. This is her arrangements. Wednesday will be visitation at 2 p.m. in the parlor. There will be a graveside rites at 3 p.m. down in the cemetery. So that is Doris's arrangement. Please be praying for Floyd and the whole family, and that God will help them through this time and through this great mourning period. Any other announcements or concerns that maybe we missed? Well, I guess at this time, let's all stand as we're able. And we'll have our confession, the invocation, our confession and forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom our hearts are open and all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And now let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us. We confess that we have turned from you and given ourselves into the power of sin. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things we have done and things we have failed to do. Turn us again to you and uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen. Please be seated, and let's have the children come forward for the children's message.
Good morning. So, how's everybody doing? You good? Good. I got some good news this morning. We always like to hear good news at church, don't we? Right? And I have some good news. So we talk a lot about what Jesus did for us. And what did Jesus do for us? What's one of the main things that we talk about? What did Jesus do for us? Do you remember? What's that big thing right there? Up the cross? Yep. And so what did he do for us? Died for our sins. Yeah. And since he died for our sins, that means a lot of good stuff, like we can be with God now and we can be with God forever, right? We talk about that a lot. And guess what else? Something talks about in our readings today. Guess what else we can do? We can talk to God. Yeah, we can live in heaven with Jesus, and when we do that, we'll be able to talk with God, right? But we can talk with God right now. Does anybody know how we talk with God? We pray. Yeah, right? So what are some things that we pray about? Yeah, if somebody's hurt or sick, we can pray for them, right? If you really miss someone, yeah. What are some other things that you pray about? Yes, Kaya. Yeah, yep. And we can pray for our church, right? And we can pray for our family, all that kind of stuff. But is it any good if we pray and God can't hear us? Then we can't talk with him, right? But guess what? That's one of the things that Jesus did. He made it so that we can talk with God. Because before Jesus, we couldn't really talk to God, right? I'm losing it. Must be almost summer. So we can talk to God, and that's really good news, because that means when things get tough, God says that the Holy Spirit lives in us, and we can talk with God the Father because of Jesus, and that's pretty good news, right? So this summer, as you're hanging out and traveling and doing all that kind of stuff, remember to talk to God, because you can, and that's a really good thing, and that's a really awesome thing that not everybody was able to do directly the way we can before Jesus. So let's take advantage of it, okay? And let's talk to God as much as we can, okay? Advantage, yeah. Good point. What does advantage mean? That means since we can do it, let's do it a lot, okay? Let's pray a lot. All right, let's pray right now, and we know God's going to hear us when we pray, okay? All right, let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you that you give us the opportunity to talk to you and that you give us the assurance that you will hear us, and we just ask that you teach us all how to pray, and that you remind us to pray all the time. In your name, we pray. Amen. All right, y'all, get a sucker. Okay.
Now, as the children are leaving, let's all stand as we're able for the apostolic greeting in our Kyrie. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth. Let us pray. Oh God, all good things can come from you alone. Generously consider then our humble prayers. Inspire us to consider what is true and direct us to accomplish what is right. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, he lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God now and forever. Amen. Please be seated.
Sometimes the way is lonely and steep and filled with pain. So if your sky is dark and pours the rain, then cry to Jesus, cry to Jesus. Jesus and live. And when the love spills over and music fills the night, and when you can't contain and dance for Jesus, dance for Jesus, dance for Jesus and live. And with your final heartbeat, kiss the world goodbye. Then go. and laugh on glory's side and fly to Jesus, fly to Jesus, fly to Jesus.
Now pass the peace with each other, please. Peace be with you, my friend. That was good. That was good.
16th chapter, beginning with the 9th verse. A vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go on into Macedonia, concluding that the God had called us to preach the gospel them. So setting sail from Troza, we made a direct voyage to Samothrace, and the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in this city some days. And on the seventh day, we went outside the gate to the riverside, where we supposed there was a place of prayer, and we sat down and spoke to the women who had come together. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. And after she was baptized, and her household as well, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my household and stay." And she prevailed upon us. Here ends the reading. Let us read responsibly to Psalm 67. May God be merciful to us and bless us. Show us the light of his countenance and come to us. Let the people praise you, O God. Let all the people praise you. Let the people praise you, O God. Let all the people praise you.
The earth has brought forth her increase. May God, your own God, give us his blessing.
May God give us his blessing, and may all the ends of the earth stand in awe of him. The second reading comes from Revelation, the 21st chapter, beginning with the 9th verse. Then came one of the seven angels, who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues, and spoke to me, saying, "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." And he carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain, and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of the heaven from God, having the glory of God, its radiance like a most rare jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates, and at the 12 gates, 12 angels, and on the 12 gates, the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel were inscribed. On the east, 3 gates, on the north, 3 gates, on the south, 3 gates, and on the west, 3 gates. And the walls of the city had 12 fountains, and on them were 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And on the 12 gates were 12 pearls, each of the 12 of the gates made one a single pearl, and the streets of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. And I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city had no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will all the nation walks, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. And its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. They will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations. But nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, for only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Here ends the reading.
Gospel according to St. John, the 16th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "In that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. I have said these things to you in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day, you will ask in my name. And I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father, and I have come into the world, and now I am leaving the world and going to the Father." His disciples said, "Ah, now you are speaking plainly and not using figurative speech. Now we know that you know all things and do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you came from God." Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe? Behold, the hour is coming, indeed it has come, when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. I want to talk a little bit this morning about the gospel reading, because it contains a couple of famous verses. And sometimes if we just know the famous verses, we don't know where they come from in that close of proximity and everything to each other. But the two that I'm going to talk a little bit about are, "Ask and you will receive, and in the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." We hear these a lot. We quote these a lot, and we kind of take them out of context sometimes. And so I want to look at the context. I want to look at why they're so close together and what Jesus is talking about in this section. I've always thought about these two things in terms of Jesus being our protector or our advocate and how he's never going to leave us or forsake us, and that's true, but the theme that surrounds it on all sides before our reading for a couple chapters, after our reading for a couple chapters, is actually the new relationship with God that we're going to have with Jesus, the one that we have now, the one that he's telling his disciples about before his work on the cross. This reading is actually a part of Jesus' farewell discourse, is what people call it, because he's talking to the disciples before the passion's going to start. And these are the last couple of things he's telling them in John's gospel. Now, that goes from chapter 14 through chapter 17. Chapter 16 is where we read today, but chapter 14 starts the whole section off, and it's another familiar passage. "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me." And we're pretty familiar with that one, especially in our funeral services. That's one that we read quite a bit in the funeral services because it's hopeful. And so Jesus starts off the whole thing with hope, because there's going to be something new, there's going to be something different. And then in chapter 17, after our reading for today, that's actually Jesus' high priestly prayer, they call it, because he's advocating to the Father for us, and he's actually laying out what the whole vision of God is for us to relate to God and each other. And actually, what he prays in the 17th chapter is that we would all be one with Jesus and the Father and the Spirit, the way that they're one. That's pretty amazing. And then that we would be one with each other the way that they're one. Perfect social order. And so what we start with is hope, and what we end the section with is God's vision for the relationship. And the whole time, Jesus' whole farewell discourse for those chapters actually does highlight this new thing that's happening and the new relationship that's gonna come about because of it. And so what we ought to think about in terms of these famous scriptures that we find right in the middle of it is this relationship that we have now that he's telling his disciples about, and how that means we should read the two famous scriptures that we're talking about. Let's look at both of them. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be complete. Mm-hmm. Now in the verses in chapter 16, just before what we read, Jesus is actually telling his disciples that they are going to see him, and then they're going to not see him anymore, and then they're going to see him again. And the disciples are confused, which is why in our reading here they say, ah, finally, you're not talking in figurative speech, because they're getting more and more confused by what he's saying. But Jesus keeps talking about these things, and he specifically says that when the disciples are going through trials, they need to be patient in those trials, because their sorrow is going to turn to joy when they see him resurrected. And Jesus knows that that's going to be the tipping point that goes from the old relationship to the new. And after that, he says to his disciples that they will be able to talk to the Father, and he's not going to have to advocate for them in terms of communication. He's going to advocate to the Father for us in terms of our sin. But he's not going to have to communicate with the Father on our behalf. We're going to be able to communicate with the Father. And then we think oftentimes that because he attaches, if you ask in our name, in my name, it will be given to you. If we do that, then that means we can just come up with something that we'd like, and we say, in Jesus' name, and then we'll get it. But it's actually the opposite of that, and it's connected to this relationship thing that we're talking about. Does anything that we ask for, if it's our own idea or desire, bring joy? I know a lot of things that I like and I want to do, and when I finally get to do it, or when I finally get to eat it, hint, hint, makes me feel sick. I eat too much of it. Something like that. Something that we do on our own never really is what we drum it up to be beforehand, right? And so if Jesus says that your joy will be full when you ask in my name, then it's got to be something different. Again, it has to do with this relationship thing. Jesus is actually saying, because of me, for the first time, you can communicate with God and you can ask in my name, and it will be given to you, and it will make joy for you in your life. This is a big deal. That separation that we had with God is gone. And Jesus also highlights here this idea of in his name. What does that mean? Does it mean that now in Jesus' name we can put the stamp on the letter that we send to God so he doesn't think that our prayer is junk mail? Right? And maybe it's a hook that gets them to listen to us. Not really. Instead, Jesus is foreshadowing how in this new relationship, the Holy Spirit is going to dwell inside of us. If that's the case, he's saying that God's going to put his Spirit in us, just like he said he would in the Old Testament. And when that happens, our desires will transform to be one with God's desires. And this means that when we pray in Jesus' name, he's both making the communication possible where it wasn't possible before, and he's leading us in what to pray. Jesus' name is both the letter-carrying service that makes it available to us to pray to God, and it's the guideline to know what to speak in the letter to God. And this is pretty amazing if you think about it, because Jesus is a person who's strong enough to make new communication with the Holy God possible. And he's loving enough to personally guide us in communicating with God. There's one issue that I've always had with this kind of an idea. Thinking that if God is helping me to pray to God, then that removes me from the whole system, which makes it not real communication. Somehow, I always had this hang-up that if God is so involved in this, then it's not a pure give-and-take the way communication is when you communicate truly with another human being, and when you communicate with God, it somehow diminishes it. But that's not the case. Let's look at our prayer of the day for today. Okay? In your bulletin, you'll see under the prayer of the day, "Oh God, all good things can come from you alone." Isn't prayer a good thing? It's a great thing. So that means this ability and then what we should say to God actually does come from him. And then we ask him to consider our humble prayers, because we shouldn't be able to pray to God, but we can. That should humble us. And then we say, "Inspire us." To inspire is having the Holy Spirit in us and having him inspire in us this connection with God to where we do know his desires and we desire the same, and inspire in us to consider what is true as we pray. Not what we want, but what is true. And then direct us to accomplish what is right, to turn those prayers into this relationship where it's beyond just speaking and it's doing. And then we pray through Jesus Christ. In his name. We sometimes think that this prayer should be this equal give and take, but that's not what the Bible talks about. Actually, the way the Bible lays out prayer, it's something that is guided by God as we are in communication with God, as we're talking to him. And it even says that the Spirit goes on ahead and prays for us because we don't know what to pray. We're unable. And somehow in all of that, because of this miracle that prayer is, we're not excluded. We both benefit from it, and we participate in it, and we're truly united with God in it, and that's all really good news. And then when this happens, it means something, and it affects our lives, and it benefits us. Now, Jesus actually does tell the disciples that this will happen, and he connects it with prayer. When he says, "In the world you'll have trouble, but have courage, because I have overcome the world." He's not going to say that if he's talking about something other than relationship and prayer. He's not going to say it here, but this is where he says it. It's not by itself, it's in this context. The whole reason that his overcoming the world is beneficial to us is because he's not leaving us. Instead, we're connected with him, we're indwelled by the Spirit, and we're able to communicate with the Holy Father who's on his throne in heaven. That is truly beneficial. And given that he's overcome the world, and it benefits us because we're not left alone, we have something that's different than what was before, where people did have to wonder and go to where God was in one place on earth and hear from him through a messenger, the prophets. Now, not even Jesus has to take a message to God for us. Through Jesus and his work, we can speak directly to the Father. And that's particularly good news when life gets like life does, when we're tired and when we're struggling, and when we can't do it on our own, and we're reminded of that over and over again. because of how life is promised to be difficult and how the world is going to have trials, tribulations, struggles. This is why Jesus says in the prayer section, take heart, I have overcome the world. In context of praying, he's saying, I'm not leaving. You're still connected, even in the struggles. You can speak to God while you're struggling. Now, it's easier in this context to see why prayer is so important, right? But I've struggled to think of prayer properly. I've struggled with what to pray. Lisa and I have had many discussions at difficult times in our lives about what good prayer is. Because we're going to pray something, God already knows what it is, and we might be asking for something that's not his will, but it's ours. Lisa's grandmother was very sick and she was dying. And what do you pray? Your will be done, but not really, because I really don't want her to die? If that's your will, I don't want that. So is your prayer then not valid? Or is it, Lord, change your mind. Please, 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 in Jesus' name. Is that how prayer is laid out? Remember that what Jesus is saying in this whole section of chapters is that prayer is another part of this new relationship. Thinking about it the way I've thought about it in the past misses the whole point. These things are issues for us when we are thinking of prayer only if we think of prayer as taking a bunch of arguments to a judge to try to sway them one way or the other. And that's not how the Bible ever talks about prayer. What relationship do you have with a judge? Not a close one, not a personal one. And then if you do, they're not allowed to be your judge. But we do have that kind of relationship with God. In this case, then, because of this relationship and what prayer means inside of this relationship, we relationally draw closer to God when we pray. And that's especially important when we are living in a world full of tribulation all the time. So let's remember that both asking for anything in Jesus' name and his overcoming the world both have to do with how we relate to God. They're not on an island by themselves that we can pull out and just think of whatever we want and try to apply it. No, it means that we have this relationship with God, and both of these things have to do with that new relationship. The only thing worthy of praying in Jesus' name is God's own desires. And that's not bad news for us because the Spirit is in us, and now we can know God's desires, and we can truly desire that ourselves. And Jesus overcoming the world is only really good news the way he speaks about it if we're connected to him, and we are in this new relationship. So when we face suffering, we're not by ourselves. Instead, we're actually equipped with everything we need to be rescued. We're left alone, it seems like, in these tribulations, and Jesus is saying, no, you're not, because you're connected to me. The Holy Spirit is in you, and you have a direct line of communication with the Father. But then when we are rescued, we're going to fully realize what we've already have. So let's try to think about what we already have now. But until that happens, until we are rescued, we are connected with God, and we can communicate with him. So let's remember that this kind of relationship does make all the difference for us now. Let's remember that. Let's remember that when we pray, it's a relational thing. We can truly make our desires known and ask that God's desires become our own. And in doing so, we hear back from God. It's all a relationship thing. Let's remember that. Let's strengthen our prayer lives because that is what makes a difference in the tribulations. Amen.
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 Now let us confess our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And now let us pray for this world and all of God's great creation. Most precious Lord, we are thankful that we live in this wonderful and great country. We're thankful for all who have sacrificed their lives so that we might live free, that we might be able to worship you in peace. And we pray, God, that their sacrifice may never be forgotten. And we pray, God, that we might honor them as we live for you. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Father God, we're thankful for all that you've done for us. And we pray this day you will continue to bless, that you will let the seed of the gospel spread forth, and that you, God, will let your will be done with that. We pray, God, that your will might be done in this church. It might be done in our lives. And we pray, God, that we might seek your will, praying and taking all burdens and cares to you. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Father God, there are many hurting and sick among us. And we pray for all those on our prayer concerns list and all those who we name in our hearts right now. Lord God, as the great physician in heaven, we pray that you might touch them as only you can, wrapping your arms of loving grace around them. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Father God, into your hands we commend all for whom we pray, trusting through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord's face shine upon you and God's grace rest with you. And the Lord continue to touch you each and every day. Serve the Lord.